But many of us were listening to Chris Stewart because we get a more concise and better analysis from our good friend up there in Tuscaloosa. Chris, good morning. How are you today?
I'm good, but you're too kind. You got more concise analysis from Barrett. You didn't get as much from me, but I tried anyway.
So when you left the broadcast booth, were you still thinking that, hey, you had a pretty good shot to make it to the college football playoffs?
I was thinking, dear Lord, how am I going to get down to the locker room? That's all I was thinking when I left the broadcast booth, because I have to do Coach Saban's TV show, and I was swimming upstream against the sea of orange. The ones that weren't going to the field were headed to the exits, and I've got to work my way through them to get to the Alabama locker room, and am I going to do this in one piece? So that was my thought at the time. Now that I've had a chance to digest it, I mean, looking at the math, everything, yes, absolutely, there's a chance to get to the playoff. There's still a great opportunity to win the league and play for everything, as Coach said in the postgame. Everything that you want to accomplish when you're at Alabama and you're accustomed to competing for is still very much on the table. The problem is there's no margin for error. And beyond that, Alabama's got to play better. It's a team that's got to be better across the board. Penalties, defensively, consistency with what they do on the offensive end. So it's not as if you can simply say, well, you're fine, because the truth is, unless you play better, you're not going to be fine. Somebody else will do to you what A&M almost did, Texas almost did, and what Tennessee was able to do, and that's escape with a win.
All right, going down that elevator, I've got to ask you, what was your mindset going into the TV show with Nick Saban? What was running through your mind? What kind of questions? This is the first time you've done this year, you know, where he's had a loss, and how do you approach that?
Coach is fine. Honest to goodness, it's not a problem with Coach Saban, because the reality is on the TV show that we do, it's put on a tee. It's basically the same from my perspective. It's the same every week, the same lead-ins, the same timing. There's a couple of specific aspects of the game that, you know, when you're talking about the game itself, that you have to set him up for. But he's fine. He's very insightful, even after a loss, maybe even, well, I'm not going to say more so, but just as insightful after a loss. He processes and deals with all of that very well. The honest, most difficult aspect was the logistical part of it, getting to him so that we could do the show and trying to figure out where, because normally you do a show on the field, on the road. Well, that wasn't going to happen, obviously. Then you're trying to find an area, a small space of area where you're not, and that's not something I have to deal with. It's the folks at Crimson Tide Productions that do a great job of putting all that together and setting all that up. But we have to find a place that's semi-quiet in the bowels of a stadium. And then you also have a... you know, you're trying to figure out where they can do lighting, but also where you're out of the way for guys that are trying to get ready, so players and coaches, so they can get out of the facility, get on the bus, and get back home. So it's much more logistical than it is in terms of content when you're talking about concerns in moments like that.
Chris Stewart, our guest here on WNSP. On the flip side, Bryce Young was unbelievable. I think the word magician was used quite a bit here. He's just so good. With that said, this team, for a number of the reasons that you've already talked about, has really struggled on the road here. And I think what bothers me most about the loss is it's really for the same reasons that have been hampering this team all year, and Saban has harped on those things. Do you think the message has now been received by players who maybe didn't grasp the scope of those problems heading into the Tennessee game?
Nothing grabs your attention like failure.
Yeah.
Whether you're talking life, whether you're talking about a ball game. Nothing grabs your attention like failure. And if you're capable of turning your fortunes around, then you'll go back and you'll do the things that need to be done to get it right. And if you don't, then you'll continue to struggle. There's plenty of talent there. That's obvious. Even the most talented players drop passes. Even the most talented kickers miss kicks. Even the most talented tacklers and defenders miss assignments. And if players with comparable talent on the other side do their job the right way at the right time, your mistakes will get exposed. And that happened to Alabama. There were a couple of times Tennessee frankly had chances and just absolutely missed. There were opportunities that Alabama had and missed. But Tennessee executed at a higher percentage. They had fewer penalties. They had a turnover that was devastating to them and almost cost them the ball game. They almost had another one. Alabama thought they had another one. Obviously, the interception, but a penalty kept that from being...
Chris, let me ask you, did Nick address... I didn't see the TV show, so I'm...
Everybody that pulls for Alabama wants them to be, but they've got to clean up mistakes, and they've got to execute at a more consistent level if that's who they're going to be.
Chris Stewart, our special guest here on Wednesday. Let me ask you this. I didn't see the TV show, so I'm just coming at you with, you know, fresh in my mind. Did you bring up about the hits on Bryce Young, one or two in particular, or did Nick Saban address that during the TV show?
He did not talk about it during the show, and I didn't bring it up. You know, there's not a ton of detail, and frankly, it's so soon after the ball game. You know, we're doing that. We were taping that show within 30 minutes of the game itself wrapping up. And you've only got a certain window of time with him and with the questions themselves that you're trying to get plugged in for the show itself. So there's not a ton of time for in-depth analysis of key plays, and especially one that had as many as that game did. I know that he addressed it in press conference, asked about it, I guess, on Monday in the press conference to a degree in a collection of things that were discussed. But no, we did not talk about it on the show itself.
Chris Stewart, our guest here on WNSP. I know a lot was made about the play calling on offense there at the end of the game and not making Tennessee burn timeouts by throwing the ball. I didn't have a problem with it. I thought that was kind of your bread and butter. That's where you had all your success. You put up 49 points. To go back and question that play calling right there, especially since, you know, Gibbs is, you know, a half an inch from catching a ball and moving the clock. Or moving the chains. Yeah. I didn't have a problem with that at all.
But, you know, this is typical anytime when plays work, they're great. When they don't, they're terrible. And I realize sometimes there are occasions where that's not true. Always it may work, but it's still a bad play or a bad call or whatever. You're absolutely right. In a game full of what-ifs, a game full of them, for both sides, there's no doubt that one of the big what-ifs, what if Jahmyr Gibbs catches that football, and let's say Alabama still misses a shorter kick.
Yeah.
Because it would have been, or if he catches the ball and scores a touchdown, which some people, you know, watching at the time thinks there was a great chance of happening. But let's just say he makes the catch, gets it, goes down first down, and it's the final play. The kick comes on the final play of regulation for Alabama as opposed to the final play for Texas A&M. You know, there's nothing that says you wouldn't have lost in overtime, first of all. Going back, the time on the clock was not the issue. The poor execution in the secondary, or the ability to get pressure on Hendon Hooker, however you want to phrase it, the lack of success on defense to allow two throws to go where they went so that a kick was even an option, that was far bigger in my mind than clock management. When you're talking about clock management, you're trying to get a position to give yourself the best chance to score. Okay? And even if the catch is made at the 20-yard line or wherever he was at the time, I don't remember exactly, but I think he was around the 20 if he makes that catch, and you do come out and kick it, it's a shorter kick. It's in the center of the field as opposed to one hash. You've probably got a better chance. But even with that not happening, 15 seconds, two throws to give them a 40-yard kick should never have happened.
Chris, are you ready for some passing from Mississippi State? I doubt you'll see many running plays.
I don't know. We'll see what they do. I'm, and not to sound like Alabama's coach, Mississippi State's good and Mississippi State's dangerous. But I am far more curious to see what Alabama's going to look like on Saturday at 6 than I am what the opponent's going to look like. How will they respond? How have they, you know, how do they manage that over the course of the week? Because it's not one day of practice. It's what you do throughout the course of the week. And then do you come out unsteady, uncertain? Do you still have your mind back in Knoxville? Or do you turn the page and go play like this team is capable of playing, or we think they're capable of playing, handle business, go into a bye week, and then go down the, you know, the kickstart of the back stretch of the season and accomplish the things that everybody hopes they'll accomplish.
Chris, always a pleasure, sir. We appreciate the time. Have a great week, and we'll be in touch.
Look forward to it. Thank you.